No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you, with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary, based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Your kids could get free or low-cost health coverage from Medicaid or CHIP. Even if you've applied before, they may be eligible now. Kids up to age 19 are covered for checkups, vaccines, dentist visits, hospital care, and more. And if they already have Medicaid or CHIP, remember to renew every year. Visit InsureKidsNow.gov or call 877-KIDS-NOW. Paid for by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services.
This is Adam Carriker on the Ticket.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, 8-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com, here's your host, Adam Carriker.
Welcome, everybody, into Adam Carriker on The Ticket. Hope you all had a glorious weekend. Got a fun show today. It's loaded, as always. What a shocker. All right. I'm going to be going down my list of how I see the college football playoff seedings actually panning out. I gave my preseason top 25 last Friday. The internet blew up in reaction and anticipation to the show and then reacting to my rankings. It was amazing, ladies and gentlemen. It was everywhere. But today, we're going to talk about what actually matters the most. Because where you have them ranked isn't that big a deal compared to where you get seated. The college football playoff, 12-team playoff. How are the seedings actually going to go? Who's going to get the first round bye? Who's going to get the first round home playoff advantage? Why is there not more home games as the playoffs go along? Especially after, I can almost understand the January 4th, like four of the major bowl games, continuing what's gone on for decades in college football, hosting the four playoff games that day. But why can't the four teams who win those games, okay, so you can have like the top four teams playing each other, why can't the two higher seeded teams get a home field playoff game after January 1st? So right now, if you're a top four seed, you're not going to get a home playoff game no matter what you do. But if you won on January 1st, you could possibly get a home playoff game after that. Nope, you play in two more bowl games later on. So on January 1st, it's going to be the Fiesta Bowl, the Peach, the Rose, and the Sugar, the host of four playoff games. Then the four teams that win those games will then play each other in the Orange and the Cotton Bowl. Now we can discuss home playoff games, why not. But this is the actual who's going to get the 1 through 4 seeds, who's going to get the 5 through 12, who's going to be the G5 highest rated team at number 12, who's going to get the coveted number 5 seed. Because if you think about it, if you're the 5 seed, you're probably going to play the best G5 team at 12, which is, and I love Cinderella as much as anybody. I love the G5 schools. I love the underdog story. I'm one of the few people that hates the idea of the G5 schools having their own NIT national championship tournament just amongst the G5 schools, because that's what it would be. It'd be the NIT. No disrespect, but not very many people watch the NIT unless you have a son or a daughter that are really on those teams. People aren't really watching them. Most Nebraska fans that I talk to can't even tell you the year Nebraska won the NIT basketball tournament, 1996, by the way. But most people can't. Everyone watches the big dance. There's a proposed G5. It hasn't gone very far yet, thankfully very much. Okay, and I actually get the impression I'm in the minority with this, and that's fine. I'll live with it. This is a hill I will fight on. I won't die on. Some hills I will die on, but I will fight on this hill. that the G5 should still have a seat at the table. Now, the Power Four teams don't care. Eventually, they're going to get booted out because they don't bring the same revenue, and they're going to have their own G5 National Championship Tournament, which some people prefer, and it's going to be the NIT, and people just aren't going to be as interested. I don't mean that as a disrespectful statement. That's just my opinion, because I like rooting for Cinderella. I like the underdog story. So the number five seed will play, admittedly, probably the least good, least talented team is the number 12 seed, the highest rated G5 team. And then they're going to turn around if they win that game. They're going to play the lowest rated of all the conference champions, which is probably going to be the Big 12 or ACC conference champ, which probably won't even be one of the top four teams in the nation when you think about best teams in the country, let alone they probably won't even be in the top eight, let alone top four. So you get to play the easiest team in the first round, probably the easiest team in the second round. So that five seed, I mean, I'm like, wow, that's like the perfect seed to get. Number six ain't bad either. Okay, you're probably going to play like a three-loss team from the Big Ten or SEC, or you might play a two-loss Big 12 team, and then you turn around and you play the number three seed, which is going to be probably a non-SEC Big Ten champ. So again, not quite the five seed, but a pretty nice seeding, if I'm being honest with you. So who's going to get all these seeds? How's it going to play out? I'm going to bust out my crystal ball, give you my predictions, and then they're going to kick the ball off at some point, and none of this will matter, and I'll look back and be like, wow, that made absolutely no sense, when I have the benefit of hindsight here in the next couple of months. But for now, it's fun, and who knows? Maybe we get some of these right. Okay, but before I do that, I'm going to give a shout-out to Bonzel Pool and Spa. Check them out at bonzelpool.com. Pools, saunas, hot tubs, you want them, they've got them. You have them, need them taken care of, they can do that job as well. Check them out at bonzelpool.com. And actually, what prompted this segment, I was just going to chill with the preseason top 25 rankings I put out last week. But I had a couple of Husker fans be like, you know, you look at Nebraska's schedule. The over-unders, 7.5. Adam, you predicted them to go 8-4. Hasn't changed since last spring. I'm sticking with that. Okay, I'm still sticking with 8-4. They're like, but, and I've had a couple of fans, what if they go 9-3? Because I have said, I do think a 9-3 SEC team or a 9-3 Big 12 team, Big 10 team is going to get into the playoff as a 10 or 11 seed. Well, what if Nebraska goes 9-3? All right, let's say they maybe lose to Ohio State. Maybe there's a freshman moment in those first seven games. Maybe they lose to USC, but maybe they beat Wisconsin. Maybe they beat Iowa. Maybe they end up 9-3. Maybe, can they be that Big Ten team that gets in? So, possibly, but they'd have to go 9-3, and I'm not going to sit here and predict that. That would be asinine at this point. Not saying it can't happen, but I'm not going to sit here and predict that. Okay, I feel good with 8-4. I feel very comfortable with 7-5, and 6-6 is the bottom of the barrel of what better happen this year, in my humble opinion. But if they did went, again, not predicting that, not saying it's going to happen, but if they went 9-3, they're a Big Ten team, could they possibly get in? So that's where that schedule that's rather friendly this year for a Big Ten schedule is actually going to hurt us. Okay, so that would be the only problem with that. I think for Nebraska to get in, first of all, people aren't used to Nebraska being in that upper echelon. So that's going to be foreign to people. So you got to do it for a little while before people get used to it and they get used to voting you back up there again. Okay. There are teams in the, I'm just going to tell you right now, I have Michigan as one of the top 10 best teams in the country, my preseason top 25, but I don't have them in the 12 team playoff. A lot of this is due to their schedule. Okay. They have a brutal schedule. All right. But a lot of it is just people. My point is, there's so many question marks around Michigan, yet people like myself have them in the top 10, yet they're missing an entire offensive line, new quarterback, new head coach, et cetera, missing all these guys. But because Michigan's been good, we're used to putting them up there so they get the benefit of the doubt. My point is, Nebraska's not going to get the benefit of the doubt right now. And that schedule, that is very friendly as far as a Big Ten schedule goes, would actually hurt us at that point. If Nebraska was going to get in, they'd have to be at least 10-2, in my humble opinion. Okay. And who knows? Never know what can happen. But I'm not going to sit here and predict 10-2. I'm not going to predict 9-3. I'm good with 8-4. Feel really good about 7-5. 6-6 better freaking happen. So those are my – I thought I got a bunch of questions and texts, people asking me about that, and I was a little surprised, to be honest with you. But you never know what can happen. Let's start by beating UTEP. Let's start by getting a little revenge on Colorado, and then we can talk about such things, okay? But I thought I'd just – answer that question here on the show, because if I'm getting side texts about it, it's probably a few people wondering about it. I don't think too many people are going crazy over it just yet. since we haven't even kicked off the ball game one of this season yet. But I want to get into my top 12, well, not even the top 12, how the 12 team seeding, how I foresee it looking for the college football playoff. And you got to keep in mind the, I guess they're power four. It's really power two, let's be honest. The power four conference champs, Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big 12 automatically get the top four seeds. And they automatically get the first round bye. Okay, with the 12-team playoff, one through four get a bye. And then 5 through 12 play each other. Then those top four teams who got the top four seeds in the first round bye automatically get into the bowl games known as the Fiesta, Peach, Rose, and Sugar. And they're going to host the winners of the 5 through 12 matchups. Okay, then the winners of those four bowl games, as I mentioned a minute ago, will then play each other in the Orange and Cotton Bowl. Not on a college campus, not with somebody having a home field advantage. So if you get a top four seed, you're guaranteed to not have a home playoff game. That irritates me to no end. Again, I'm so excited about the first round of the college football playoffs simply because there's going to be some matchups. I actually have a certain duo of teams playing each other three times this year as we get down to the final four, which doesn't, I don't want to see teams play three times. I don't hate rematches, but I don't want to see them play three times, but that's a possibility here. But the first round matchups on college campus is going to be exciting. I don't even hate that the four major bowl games on January 1st are going to take away college campus playoff games. I don't hate it. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. I get it. It's upholding that January 1st Rose Bowl, Sugar Bowl tradition. Fine, cool, whatever. But how about that next round? When you get down to the final four teams, how about you go back to college campuses and home field advantage? But you got six major bowl games now. You got the Fiesta and the Peach and the Rose and the Sugar, so you can't leave the Orange and Cotton Bowl out, so they got to host.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Those final four teams, the last two matchups before the national championship game. Personally, I say we just declare the top four bowl games. For me, it's real easy. Rose, Sugar, Orange, and then you I don't know why the Peach is in this conversation. I don't know how they got into the New Year's Six. There weren't even a New Year's Bowl game for decades. Money, obviously. And then you just debate between the Fiesta and the Cotton Bowl. Whichever one, doesn't matter. Pick one. They're both good bowl games. And you have those be the four games on January 1st, and then the four winners of those games play in the final four matchups, but it's back again on college campuses. So teams who get those first four seeds actually have a chance to host the college football playoff game. It's not the way it is right now. It's the way I'd prefer it to be. But I digress. Let's light this candle. How do I see this seeding going? Number one, Big Ten champs, Ohio State. Okay. And if this is not going to match up with my rankings from last week, because last week it was really about who the best teams were with some of the strength of schedule factored in to a degree. But strength of schedule is factored in big time, because this is actually like how I see this going wins and losses wise. I'm not giving a specific record prediction. I will give some for some teams, but that obviously incorporates the strength of schedule. I'm going to tell you right now, Texas has a way easier SEC path to the SEC title game than Georgia. Georgia may not even make the SEC title game with their schedule in the SEC. I can't believe they were so nice to Texas in year one, by the way. Big Ten sure wasn't that way with Nebraska back in the day, but I digress. Number one, overall seed, Big Ten champs, Ohio State, first round bye. Number two, SEC champs, I have Texas. And I know that makes me want to vomit, but I got to try to be unbiased here. You look at Texas's schedule within the conference. Oklahoma, Georgia, fairly challenging. Beyond that, I don't see LSU. I don't see Alabama. I don't see Ole Miss. I don't see a lot of these powerhouses within the SEC. They do not have the most brutal SEC schedule. They do have Michigan at a conference, a game where you've got a veteran quarterback going against a first-time starter in Michigan early in the season. Texas is going to have such an advantage in that game with all the new that's going on in Michigan. And I do think Michigan will be a good team, but I think there's so much new, and I think their schedule is so brutal. I don't have them in this 12-team college football playoff, despite me thinking that they're probably going to be one of the 10 best teams in the country. That's just not how the seeding works in the college football playoff. So at number two, I have Texas, and I don't even have Georgia in the SEC title game. I think it's going to be Texas versus Alabama versus Ole Miss versus one of those teams, even though I think Georgia is one of the two best teams in the country. But Georgia's got a pretty brutal schedule, and I've talked about it before, so I don't know that I need to go through it again. Okay. In fact, I'm not going to. Check out previous podcasts or shows if you want to see, because I've talked about their brutal schedule multiple times before. Texas somehow got a little bit of an easier slate by SEC standards. And the fact that Georgia has a way tougher schedule, even though I think they're the better team, and they certainly have more proven players than Texas does coming back. Okay, I've got the SEC champs is Texas. And yes, I did throw up a little bit in my mouth, and I do apologize for that, because it is Texas, but I digress. And actually, the number three seed is a team that I didn't even have ranked in the top 10, but I looked at their schedule, and it's Miami. You look at Miami's schedule. Okay, they start off on the road at Florida, who's got probably the worst schedule I've ever seen a college football team have. And let's just look at Florida's schedule. So they got Miami to start off the year. Okay, but I'm just going to go to their last five games. Georgia, Texas, Ole Miss, Florida State, LSU. So that is two teams in the top five. I let me correct myself. Three teams in the top five, four teams in the top 10, five teams. Their last five games of the year at Florida are all against top 15 teams. Holy cow, it's like they joined the NFL. And then they're also going to host Miami game one. So there's six teams right there that are in the top 19. Okay, so good luck to Florida this year. I'm half tempted to say if they go 6-6, they should get in the playoff. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But seriously, if they go 9-3 with that schedule, which they won't, if they go 6-6 and go to a bowl game, because they're struggling down there and they don't have a great team and that brutal schedule, they go 6-6 and go to a bowl game, they should be thrilled. They really should. But if they went 9-3 with that schedule, they should get in the playoff. That's just my humble opinion. But, all right. So the number three seed, I have the ACC champs, Miami of Florida. And a lot of this has to do with their very, very friendly schedule. Okay. When you look at Miami's football schedule, they could have very easily go 11-1. Okay, they start on the road at Florida, who is not a great team. Then they got Florida A&M and Ball State and USF. Like, holy cow. Okay, Virginia Tech might actually be halfway decent, but then Cal. Louisville lost a lot of players. I know they were in the ACC title game. Florida State, probably by far their toughest test of the season. Really, their toughest opponents, you can say at Florida, because it's an in-state rivalry, game one on the road. So because of that, more so than the quality of Florida's team, I'll say it's a tough game. Virginia Tech, at home, Virginia Tech has a lot of players returning, okay? And Florida State. Really, that's it. Miami has such a friendly schedule. I have them actually going 11-1. I do think they're going to be a good team. I don't think they're an 11-1 team, but I think with their schedule, they're an 11-1 team. They win the ACC. I think they actually lose to Florida State in the regular season. There's a rematch in the ACC title game. They win ACC champs 11-1, probably 12-1 at that point. Number three seed. All right, number four, I've got Utah. I do think they're the best team in the Big 12. I do think the Big 12 is going to beat each other up between Oklahoma State with basically their whole offense coming back. You got Kansas State with actually a lot of playmakers. Kansas could come up and be pretty good. Some people got them pretty highly rated. Some people even have them ranked. Then you've obviously got Utah. What if Colorado actually comes up and like it plays consistent football at all this year? I just think the Big 12 is going to be the most exciting conference. It's going to be a lot of points scored, a lot of close games that go back and forth either way. I think they're going to kind of beat each other up. I think Utah very well could be 10-2, but they get the number four seed as the Big 12 champs. So all those teams get a first round bye. All right. So I will give you my 5-12 seeds. Well, 5-11 seeds. And then in 5 minutes, I'm going to be joined by former Nebraska quarterback, Standing Bear offensive coordinator, Ron Kellogg, so be sure to tune in for that. But here are my 5-11 seeds, because I got to talk about that 12th seed, because there's actually some pretty good G5 teams out there. At number five, I've got Georgia. At number six, I got Oregon. Now, I actually think Georgia and Oregon are possibly the 1, 2, 3, you know, first, second, or third best teams in the country. They're both definitely in the top four on paper, in my opinion. But Georgia gets the fifth seed. Oregon, I think, beats Ohio State in Autzen Stadium in October and then rematches with them again in the Big Ten championship game. So we'll play twice at that point. But I think Ohio State wins the rematch. So Oregon, probably with only one loss, definitely no more than two, in my opinion, number six seed. Ole Miss, who does not play Texas, does not play Alabama on their schedule and is very talented, the seven seed. You know, Notre Dame, is this the year they're actually good or everyone just continues to think they're good? I've got them at eight. Number nine, the team that had we had this 12-team playoff the past 8 years would have been in six times is Penn State. I've got them at number nine, not Michigan. Michigan's going to have a tough time with Texas, a tough time with Oregon, a tough time with Ohio State, and that's assuming they beat everyone they're supposed to. I think there's going to be another hiccup in their schedule somewhere, and they end up around 8-4 this year. I've said 9-3 several times, but I'm amending to 8-4. So Penn State, the number nine seed. I've got Florida State. Seminole Nation can calm down. They're finally going to get in the playoff. I do think they end up 10-2, and I think they end up the 10th seed. Alabama, insanely talented, but they had a lot of players leave. They are so unproven in the back end. Got a great quarterback, good offensive line, great running backs, brand new everything as far as coaching-wise. I think it doesn't matter what they do this year unless they win it all. No, they're not going to be happy because, you know, under Nick Saban's regime, if you didn't win a national title, you're not happy, and that's what they're used to. So welcome to Alabama, Kalen DeBoer. But I think Alabama is a 9-3 team that gets in. And I think if they're 9-3 playing their schedule, I think they deserve to be in, even if they're the 11th seed. You look at that 12th seed, and I'm going to chat about that here in about 20 minutes. All right, Ron Kellogg is going to join me here after these messages. We're going to pay some bills, come right back, he'll join me, and then I will give you my top G5 team. There's actually some pretty good teams, ladies and gentlemen. Boise State, Memphis, Liberty has a lot of people coming back and an insanely soft schedule. All right, Miami of Ohio, this is their best team since Ben Roethlisberger was there, and they only lost one game. UTSA, yes, the Roadrunners, meet. They aren't half bad this year. They did lose their best defensive player to Texas. All right, there's some pretty good G5 teams. Who wins? Like, who is the highest rated G5 team and gets into this college football playoff is actually quite intriguing to me. And I just hope, I mean, if they're matched up with Georgia, good freaking luck, but I just hope they represent the G5 well, because if they don't in the next 2 years, we only have 2 years. Like, 3 years from now, there is no college football playoff set up yet. Nothing is set up. I know they've talked about 14 teams, but all they really figured out was the revenue for the 14 teams, not actually how it's going to look. If they don't do well, they may be excluded. So I'm rooting for them for several reasons. But there's some pretty good G5 teams. So I'll go through who I think is going to get in, and then I will go through who I think is going to win each matchup and who the eventual national champion will be. But ladies and gentlemen, we're going to pay some bills. I'll talk with Ron Kellogg. right after this break.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only $10 every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.